percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
You know, sometimes there's so many things going on, I have a difficult time focusing and narrowing the search or narrowing my attention span. This is an incredibly busy year with all sorts of stuff. And we're not even getting into, the politics, all that social stuff. We're getting to the behind the scenes with the stuff that's happening with AI, the stuff what's happening on the science. What was it like? Oh, I can't remember how many new galaxies they discovered, 72 or something like that today. And that means there's a whole lot more potential there for extra dimensionals and interdimensionals and ET and all this stuff that people say doesn't exist. But there are those of us who've had experience who say, When you find out, it'll be a whole lot better, okay? Just so you know, there are some of us who don't worry about whether it's proven or not, because once you've had the experience, it kind of becomes one of those in-your-face things that you cannot make it go away. It's there. And wow, the whole world opens up. So on my list here of things to do, got the new book, Richard Bach. Back out, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, he's still writing. This time, and he said it took him basically his whole life to figure out that he had a guardian angel. So he's got a book out, Life with My Guardian Angel. But I don't know, I love Jonathan Livingston Seagull is a classic, timeless. Illusions, another one. He's really, for me, a great inspirational author. Speaking of that, I've got an author today, local, Gene Walker, Family Secrets. And that gets into all this other E.T., spooky, paranormal, unexplained stuff. We're going to talk with her this hour. In the meantime, though, I'm going through my laundry list of just going back through my research and stuff, revisiting a couple for the holiday gift-giving list. You want to get into the metaphysical and off-the-beaten-path kind of stuff. He's deceased, but one of the books that's a classic, Journey of Souls, Case Studies of Life Between Lives, Michael Newton. And that is a really good book, talking about reincarnation, talking about maybe present tense and then future tense. One of the classics, been around a long time, Far Journeys, Journeys Out of the Body. That's Robert Monroe. Bob Monroe got great stuff. My grandmother actually went to visit their facility when they were first getting into the Hemisync stuff. And I remember when she came back and was talking about this and how excited she was, never able, to the best of her memory, to achieve that intentional out-of-body experience. And I've had several, some intentional and some accidental. Again, once these things happen, you don't have to say, hey, prove it. You just say, okay, what's your story? Tell me, what have you experienced? And then a couple, Spirit Rescue. This is a new one, Dowser's Ghostly Encounters. And these guys get into how they go into places and basically, the people who go out and look for water or that kind of thing. Uri Geller makes bucket loads of money with oil findings. He goes out and does the dowsing for oil and stuff like that. Anyway, that's one of the new ones I found, and it's pretty legit. The other Ghost Cats, haven't had a chance to read this one, but on my viewing list, this is the stuff that I kind of seek out and really enjoy finding when their little things turn up. Aside from, I got distracted, of course, and found out that Bruce Springsteen was going to be extending his Broadway run. Yay! I can't afford to go, but just the idea that he's doing this and still alive and kicking is great. The documentary on alien gangsters, The Biggest Story Never Told. This is Roger Lear. He's the guy who was known for doing surgeries and taking out these little foreign objects from people who had claimed to be abductees. And this is the story of his last surgery. This one looks fascinating. Haven't seen it yet. Also on the list, there's another one that I thought looked really interesting. And this is the guy, The Curse of Seeing UFOs. And that one is also available. I think it's YouTube. Christo Rapolo, been seeing UFOs since he was 8 years old. And so he has this, he videos, tells you this is where you're going to go see him, all that. The other person who did that was PK Man, Ted Owens. Fantastic story. And Jeffrey Mishlove, he interviewed him. He also was very involved, kind of up close and personal with documenting Ted's story. And one of the things that he writes in the book, he includes several little they were basically suggestions along the line of affirmations. And he went through, I think, a couple of days of sessions with Ted where he gave him these instructions that he said were given to him by the ETs, or if Ingo Swann called them the SIs. And they gave him these instructions, and Jeffrey said, well, you know, not that big a deal. But he includes them in the book, and he said after that, his life changed, and things that had been going the wrong direction turned around. Did it work because Ted told him to do that? We don't know. However, there were other things that Ted did tell him that did really shift his believing in terms of what could happen and what's possible and whether or not Ted did have some kind of contact with other intelligences, be they ET or interdimensionals, transdimensionals, unknown, unexplained. That's one of the most fantastic stories you will ever read about PK, psychokinesis. Anyway, there are other people who are still alive who can fill us in on some of their experiences, not in a matter of they say they control, but say they encounter things that are unexplainable and, you know, just really fantastic. So that's what I try to do is connect with some of those people and then also find out where some of this stuff might be coming from. The mind control experiments that CIA did, actually, Paul Davids, I've interviewed him. He does a lot of UFO stuff, and he was also in contact, he said, with Forey Ackerman, the guy who did all the spooky stuff. I can't remember the name of his... Oh, dang. I can't remember the name of the book. Anyway, he was convinced that Forey was contacting him and saying that, yes, there is life after death. That was his last project. Well, this project is a little bit more interesting in terms of the CIA involvement. He was a student, and they were doing, supposedly, some kind of student school research on... suggestion, hypnotic, auto-suggestion, that kind of stuff. And then it turns out it was actually also part of a CIA program. And after so many years, he and his buddy who were involved in this are now telling their story in a book. I think I've got that one scheduled for January. Anyway, it's fascinating. And my latest hobby is botnik. Botnik is, I don't even know how I found this, but it's one of those, you know, you just go in and start surfing. Botnik is a content bot, uses predictive algorithms to write articles, scripts, and jokes. And according to this author, really good. So I started following on Twitter just to see what Botnik would come up with. And the random Botnik, Tobias never expected to be a workaholic father until he met his new neighbor, a Yazuka lifeguard. Okay, so there you go. Maybe Botnik will get the kinks worked out. But, okay, he is combining things to make a sentence quite well, he or she. All right. But that, there's just that. I'm going to follow along and see if we can get some good content to share there. So just a lot of stuff happening. And then, of course, over the holiday, this nightlight thing, we took the food to my mom's. And my husband says, the light's blinking over there. Real subtle. He didn't tell me at that time. He told me as we're going through the evening. And I look over as he's telling me and saying, this has been happening since we walked in, because it's always subtle. And I, you know, it's happened so long for me that I don't pay attention to it the same way. And then as he's talking about it, and I'm saying, yes, it is, and say, hey, Mom, check it out, the light. It's doing its blink thing. And then it starts going much bolder and more on, off, on, off, blink, you know, and then flickering. And there's two little girls, they're playing, they're not paying any attention at all. I call my brother, who's in the basement fixing the washing machine for Mom, thank you. And he comes upstairs, and it does it long enough for all of us to see that it's doing its thing, on, off. And then they have to turn the light off so the little girl can go to sleep. And they're like, we douse the light, say goodbye to the night light, the actual lamp light this time. And that's real. That's life. And that's, for me, normal. So, with that intro, I'm going to talk with Jean Walker, because she's got some extraordinary experiences that have been going on for quite some time in her life. And she's written the book, Family Secrets. So she's coming up next. Wendy's Coffee House, glad to have you along. KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Hope you're having a lovely day, night. I love this. If you're listening on the podcast, it can be any time, 24/7. Or no time. It also happens, you know. if you're in a different dimension. Thank you. Thanks for tagging along. Jean Walker has had some incredible experiences. She's finally got a book to kind of start documenting the process and saying, okay, this isn't my imagination. So just if you are also having experiences, take notes. Family Secrets is the name of the book, and Jean Walker is actually in our area here in the heartland, the Midwest. Jean, thank you. I really enjoyed your stories and your book, and I'm glad you're talking, okay?
Well, thank you, Indy. It's nice to talk with you.
Okay, just to set it up, your background. This isn't something that, you know, in terms of making a living just like everybody else, employed, doing, just living life as usual.
Yes.
What got you in the, I guess, finally to decide that this was okay to talk about and you go public?
Okay, well, a little background on myself. I am a retired science teacher. I taught middle school science for almost 20 years for Kansas City, Missouri School District. And when you teach, it just consumes your whole life. That's all you do. And after I retired about 8 years ago, I started thinking about a lot of the things that had happened to me in my life, and I happened on to a MUFON convention, and I went there and heard a lot of people talk about their experiences, and they had a lot of good speakers there. Then I found out we had a MUFON based here in Kansas City that has monthly meetings, and I started to attend them. And every time I go to a meeting, they would always have speakers that would really tell you a lot. And I soon realized that a lot of stuff had happened to me, and it wasn't just me. It was a lot of other people were having the same experiences. So I became a member of MUFON, and I took my test, became a field investigator. I am now Star Team Investigator because I've done so many cases. And we do them, MUFON has, every state has its own director and assistant director. And Debbie Ziegelmeyer is our director who lives in St. Louis, and Margie Kay is our assistant director, and she's here in Independence. So I work with Margie Kay a lot, and I'm now section director, so, you know, I try to set up the meetings, and I do set up the MUFON meetings. But that's how I got started into all of this and talking to people and educating myself on the things that had happened to other people through MUFON.
Well, what did you, when you're going back and trying to set how this all started from childhood, your memories?
Mm-hmm. Well, my brother helped me a lot. I only have one sibling. He's 2 years younger than me. He also had a lot of experiences, and I have noticed in working with MUFON and cases and talking to people, seems to be something that runs in certain families. Usually if one of you have had an experience, then your sibling or parent or somebody within your family has also had those experiences. So my brother helped me go back and remember this stuff, and I just started taking notes. And after I had what I thought was just about everything that had happened to me and my brother, I started writing my book, Family Secrets. Mm-hmm. And I start off in there talking about how my great-grandmother Nettie was a psychic, pretty well known here in Kansas City back in the 50s. And from her, I think I inherited some of my psychic abilities and other things that have happened to me that I just have not been able to explain any other way. The abduction became very big in my life. And, I apologize for the dogs.
That's okay. We've got I've been there, believe me.
I'm so sorry. So anyway, it started for me when I was in my crib. I remember seeing a horrible, horrible, scary face. I was under a year, about a year, probably around a year old when I seen this face looking at me. And I've never forgotten that. And I don't remember anything else at that age. And I show in my book, for a long time I couldn't describe what it was. And as I got into all this stuff that had happened to me, I realized that was an alien. And I think the alien, I think it was a gray, and I think they picked me when I was in my crib, and they knew they were going to be abducting me. So,
what did you remember about the abductions from that age?
I don't. Okay. I don't remember anything but that very scary face looking at me. And then the abductions that I really remember started, when I was a little bit older, say about 9.
Mm-hmm.
I started, we lived in Independence. I grew up in Independence, and I knew something was different, that there was something watching me all the time. It was kind of country where we lived. Everybody had at least an acre of ground, some more, and now you would never know if you drove by there. It's all houses, but it was quite different when I grew up there. And when I would go play outside, which my brother and I did all the time, we had a pond behind our house and big open fields all around it. We had a horse, we had a barn in the back half of our acre, and I started seeing this thing following me, and he was in like a silver suit. And to this day, I can remember everything about him except his face, and I still can't. I think it must have been so frightening that I've been unable to see the face.
Okay.
But I called him the spaceman because he had this silvery suit on. Now, I didn't know anything about aliens back then. And he would follow me all the time. He was always watching me, watching my house. I was out playing with the other kids and we'd be playing tag, my brother told me he remembered one night I come up to him and said, Ted, don't you see that guy? Don't you see the spaceman? He's following me, and he's watching me. And my brother said he never saw him, but he said I was terrified, just terrified.
So with that, he was right there, and you were trying to point him out to your brother, but your brother had no, he could not see him.
Well, no, because he'd hide. He'd hide behind bushes, houses, anything, but I would see him. I'd see him come out. I knew he was there. I'd seen him before. And I always knew that they were watching me. I told my parents that they were going to take me. And I'm sure my parents must have been frightened because they didn't know who they were, and I didn't either.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept telling them that I was going to be taken away. And I remember one time my father saying to my mother, maybe we should put bars on her windows and that would make her feel safer, because I had two windows in my bedroom. And I always told him they were going to take me at night. I had no idea what was going on, but I knew I was being watched my entire life growing up. I could feel it. I would see the spaceman.
Okay, and see, I want to go back into that a little bit more, but first there were other things that happened along with your relatives that kind of bring this paranormal element into play, feeling somebody's there, seeing somebody identify, especially with your grandmother. I think she identified that your father was still alive when they weren't sure if he was still in the concentration camp or something had happened to him, and she was saying, yeah. All these other things were happening. I want to give a little bit more of a background on some of that was you considered normal. So hang on a second. Hang on. So mm-hmm. We'll come back, like the fairies and the elves and all this other stuff that was part of your childhood. So hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Again, my guest, Gene Walker, and the book is called Family Secrets. It's got a little bit of everything, a little paranormal, a little ET, a little unexplained, like we were just talking about with the fairies and the elves, gnomes. This stuff, when it starts happening, there's a lot more acknowledgement that when you have an ET UFO kind of encounter, then there might be some paranormal elements that play into that. And whether you know that, sometimes the paranormal happens first, and then the ET becomes more prevalent or obvious. But that's the thing that they are finally, within the past few years, tying into this equation. So stick around. We're going to be talking more with Gene Walker, Family Secrets, and drawing out a little more of that childhood normal day-to-day here on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House. You can check out the blog, wendyscoffeehouse.com. Some of that stuff I'll put on the blog, the links and that kind of stuff. Jean also has a video that she's done. It's a great presentation, kind of gives you an overview of her experience. Jean Walker, author of Family Secrets, my guest on Wendy's Coffee House. And we were talking a little bit more. There's some stuff that she includes in the book about the background and growing up. And we stopped short of what happened with the alien when he went into the pond.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to get with your grandmother. You mentioned her, you just kind of glossed over. It was very, very psychic, and some people thought she was crazy. And now that we know better, that's just some of those things that we were able to tap into that have a lot more to do with our expanded, like the PSI awareness. And so the fairies, the elms, or the elves, the things that they considered normal, that for many people is unusual.
Yes, yes. Well, my grandmother, from the time she was born on, was psychic, and she lived on a farm, a lot of acreage, and had a lot of workers, and her mother would make lunches for the men to take out to the workers, and she would look at Nettie and say, "What field are they in today?" And Nettie would stop and think about it, and she'd tell her mother, and her mom would take the lunches then out to where Nettie told her.
Mm-hmm.
But she unfortunately grew up, and after she reached adulthood, where she did a lot of this, people would call her crazy all the time, make fun of her. They didn't understand, and she'd really try to help people. And like a lady lost her diamond ring one time and called my grandmother, and my grandmother went into a trance and told her to go out on the front porch, and of course they were all wooden back then, and told her where to look under the boards that had slipped and fallen down. And the lady found her ring and sent my grandmother a little money for helping her.
Mm-hmm.
But Grandma did a lot of weird things, too. Like, she could conduct seances, and I tell a funny story in there about my dad putting up with his friends, making fun of his grandmother, because his grandmother and his mother were both widowed, and they lived together, and they raised my father.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad grew up with all the things that my great-grandmother did. And I remember her quite well. I was about 9 when she passed, but because she was so different, I really remember her.
Well, go ahead.
Okay, so my father was an only child, raised by my grandmother and great-grandmother, and he went into World War II, into the Army Air Force, and was shot down over Germany, and was in a prison camp. They took him from camp to camp. He almost didn't survive many times. He about froze to death and starved. He weighed 96 pounds when he came out. But for 9 months, they didn't know if he was dead or alive. They just had missing in action. So my great-grandmother Nettie told her daughter Nellie, she said, "I'm going to go in here," and she closed off. They had those big old wooden oak doors that slid out from the walls, and the house itself was very unique. And she says, "I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to find out whether Ted is dead or alive." And she said, "No matter what, do not bother me."
Mm-hmm.
She said, "I don't care what, do not bother me." Well, my grandmother said she was in there for 3 days, and she would put out food and stuff, and Nettie would never stop to eat in the 3 days. I think she did have something to drink in there and what have you, but after the 3 days, she came out, and my grandmother Nellie told me Nettie looked really wild from what she had been through. She had really maxed herself out with her psychic powers. And she says, "Ted is alive. I see him walking on some plank boards with wires back behind him, and he's carrying a tin dish to eat." And she said, "If I am wrong about this, I will never do this again. I'm going to stop all my psychic stuff." She also seen him running up the front steps yelling, "Mom, Grandma, Mom, Grandma. And she says, he's got good news for us. I don't know what it is, but she said, I know he's alive. So he was, and the Russians came in, and he got released, and he had been shot twice, so he had to go to France to recuperate, and he come back to the States, and he, I don't know, he hadn't been home too long. My parents had been married about 7 years. They were very young, 17 when they were married, and my mother had gotten pregnant with me, and my dad ran up those steps that my great-grandmother had seen him running up, yelling, Mom, Grandmother, Marie is pregnant, Mom, Grandma. So everything Nettie's seen was true.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did a lot of, I mean, I've got other stories in there about her, but I think it kind of started with her, some of it, for sure.
What I want to go back into now is moving back forward. There are some pictures that you draw in here and talk about the owls and the connection between the owls and ETs. Now, this isn't the first time. This is something that's kind of a theme through the UFO community with sightings. So that, go ahead and address that.
Yes, there is a definite connection between owls and aliens. For one thing, they are often a screen for an actual alien, because your mind doesn't want to see an alien, but it will accept seeing an owl. So that's one thought of the thing. I was on vacation in Colorado with my husband at the time, and we'd gotten a motel, and I felt very uneasy from the moment I walked in that room. And I didn't really know why, but over in the corner, I kept feeling like there was a presence. And so then my husband had a four-wheel drive vehicle, and there was a trail that we wanted to go on. And so we got up on the trail the next morning, and this trail was so bad. I've got pictures in my book of it. I mean, you would have drop-offs, huge drop-offs on the other edge, and it was mostly rock, few scrub trees, things like that, but it was mostly a rocked area. And boulders had fallen down on this pass, and I'd get real scared, and I'd say, let me out. I'm not going over that. I'm scared. I didn't think the Jeep could make it through, and the cliff on the other side was so scary. So we'd get out of the car and kind of look around, see if we thought the Jeep could get through. And every time we'd get out, this happened about three or four times, I would hear owls hooting. And I don't know where they were, because there was hardly any trees.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, it's really strange. Even my husband thought it was strange. I said, I know there's a connection, you know, with owls and aliens, and because by then I had become a little bit aware of some of this. And so that night, we were in the motel, and we were very tired after going on that trail all day. And as we slept, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't move. I was paralyzed. The only thing I could move were my eyeballs. And I look over. We had about three windows going across, and I could see red, white, and blue lights flashing, and they were going around and around and around. And I kept thinking to my husband, wake up, wake up, you know, and I couldn't move. I'm really sure we were abducted that night.
Okay, we're going to have to take another break, but I want to come back and talk about some of this stuff in the present, because as a MUFON investigator, you mm-hmm. also mentioned a story, some things happening in Independence, and some things that you really want to include in the next book because it's so fantastic. Can we address that?
Yes.
Okay, so hang on. Again, we're talking with the author of the book, Family Secrets, Gene Walker, on Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Anything's possible. What are you thinking about? What has your attention? That's where events then are drawn, and you bring to you some of these things you focus on. So dealing with some of this stuff and the extraordinary amounts, volumes of information I have read, in terms of contact of various types, whether it's a paranormal, spirit, ET, guardian angel, that kind of stuff. It really does make a difference. You draw things to you that are unseen, but very much present and real. And there are just ways like that nightlight thing that's been happening for 20 years. I don't question it anymore. I just know it's part of my experience. And at the same time, when people who are listening are just now maybe, you know, learning or stumbling into some of this new awareness, it helps to have other people tell their stories and say, this has happened. So instead of fighting it or arguing or discrediting or discounting or thinking you have something wrong with your mind, yourself, this is saying a lot of people are finally coming to terms and saying, this is happening. This is happening. And there are more connections. So that's why I think it's important for people to share their stories. And Jean Walker, the book, she includes all sorts of tidbits about extraordinary encounters. And I wanted to jump to the present because this is an ongoing exploring things with MUFON. This is an ongoing, not only hobby, activity, job, pursuit. It deals with things that are happening here and now. And you were saying there's so much now going on with that. You were thinking about doing the next book after you get done with the recipe book, right?
Yes, I've got several other I'm working on. Well, one of the things that happened to me in Eastern Independence, I got a huge case. And about anything and everything you can think of has happened there. And the lady lives a little bit, it was like out in the country part, you know, I mean, there were houses around, but a lot of acreage, and not very far from the Missouri River there off of 291, just east of 291. One of the things when you talk about fairies, I was on investigation out there, and I took a picture, and you can see I included it in my book, mm-hmm. That it's a little fairy. And when you enlarge it, like on the computer, you can really tell it's a fairy. And I was working her case at the time. I had seen fairies as a child, too, several times. Just a couple, but they were very real. And for some reason, from what I've read, some people can see them and some people can't. I haven't really seen them except for this case that I was working on out there. She had a lot of orbs. And when we would enlarge these orbs on the computer, you could see a face in them. Mm-hmm. One of them had a little man, looked like he was sitting at a control panel driving the orb. So were they orbs or were they scout missions from a UFO? And, you know, sort of like we use drones coming down here and watching or doing things.
Yeah. It's like when some of these are super small, you wonder, okay, is this, you know, what are we looking at? Are we looking at, like you said, a drone or an entity, something, some type of a surveillance thing? Or are they really little people, tiny, that small, just, you know, not in our dimension? So they have a completely different makeup.
Yes. And then I, one day I was over there. I spent a lot of time over there because there was constantly UFOs appearing. We've seen many weird lights and strange things that we thought were UFOs. Well, they were unidentified, you know. We ruled out, you know, was it the ISS? Was it a star? Was it a plane? And you can tell by the way they move or the speeds they will go at. This lady also had them come down to her and hover over her house. She had a lot of photos and so much. I'm still in contact with her. She moved. She's still having some of the strangest things happening to her. And I've got a lot of great photos. Like she had this weird creature sitting on her roof. It was not an owl. It looked alien. I don't know how else to explain. But it wasn't like standing. It was sitting down with its knees up against it.
Uh-huh.
But you could see the head. You could see how it had its arms around its legs. Just very strange, strange things. I even, one night when I was out there, I heard this very weird scream. It was terrifying. It sounded like something I don't know, something in great distress.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened about three or four times that night that we heard this. And every time this thing would scream, the coyotes would howl and all the dogs around there would howl. I looked at her husband, happened to be out there with us, and I said, "What is that?" And he goes, "I have no idea." He said, "I've never heard it before." Well, when I left, because one of their neighbors came out and started shooting a gun, and I was
like,
I don't want to get killed out here. And the husband said, "Yeah, he gets drunk, and he likes to go out and shoot his gun." So I thought, time to leave. And in the meantime, I'm hearing all this horrible screaming going on. So I came home, and I got on the Internet, and I started listening to different Bigfoot sounds.
Uh-huh. That was my next question.
Because they... everything else was there. And, I mean, she saw UFOs over the Missouri River sucking up water. We saw them over the power plant that was just west of her, and you could see the lights on it. And I did one time see a UFO over that power plant. So we think they were absorbing energy, you know, like mm-hmm. hydrogen from the water, whatever it is they use water for. But... this weird scream, I thought, there's plenty of water, there were creeks, there was the Missouri River, all sorts of stuff that would easily provide deer, you know, enough food and water for any Bigfoot to survive in that area. So as I listened, it took me a long time of listening to different ones on the BFRO and different other YouTube and things I was listening to, I finally heard one that made that sound.
Really?
And about 2 months later, Margie Kay, who's assistant director and we worked together, her son-in-law told her that he was over there fishing, and it was like within a mile of where this lady lived in Eastern Independence. And he had two buddies with him. They looked up, and out of the woods came a Bigfoot. And he said it walked along a little bit of the water that was running off. And then all of a sudden it went back into the woods. He said it was about 8 feet tall. It was covered with a brownish red hair. And he said they were terrified. He said, "I don't think the Bigfoot even saw us, because they were just standing there fishing very quietly when this thing came out of the woods." And he said they just looked at each other, reached down, grabbed their tackle boxes, and ran for the car after they saw this horrible thing.
Okay, Jean, we're going to have to wrap up. I think you frightened everybody now.
Okay.
At first, I thought they were just frightened because the guy's out there shooting his gun, and that was the warning with the screaming that was going to be happening. Okay, if you're listening now, the book, Family Secrets, we didn't cover a lot of this. Tons of stuff in there. All right. So in the meantime, though, we'll probably have to reconnect because you and Margie Kay have projects you're working on. I told Margie we needed to reconnect probably in 2018. Okay. So the website to check out Jean's stuff, Jean M as in Mary Walker, JeanMWalker.com. And you can view the video. And I'm also going to put some links on Wendy's Coffee House. Thank you, Jean. Thank you.
Thank you.
And like I said, you know, there's so much here that is connected. We don't know how. We're still working with these cases when they come up. And then all of a sudden they have these little weird synchronicities with other types of unexplainable cases. It just makes me curious. So I hope you're curious, too. And if you are, remember, you're the one who's in charge here. Just do a little discerning before you jump off and dive into the deep end. But then again, it's a whole lot of fun. Till next time, see ya.